in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. We've cried out for help from the Savior. You know you can't give up now because you prayed.
Folks don't believe in that no more. Crying all night. You got a need in your life. That's what Jesus did that. Spent all night in prayer to God. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't pray all night because he was trying to get right. He's already right. He's doing that as an example for us. And I'm telling you, you don't meet many Christians anymore that say, boy, I prayed all night this time. And that's where we're suffering in our churches today. Ours, me, us. I'm glad there's somebody willing to pray. This song talks about, Lord, keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. You ask God to keep you in his will. I've heard people say, man, I'm scared to do the will of God. I'm afraid the Lord might have me doing this and that. He's not going to hurt you, that's for sure. He knows what's best. Amen.
Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolish. harshly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes in times disturb all the plans you have made. Lord, keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want to. If I should ask for things I want, Lord, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me. I've made somehow always go astray. Lord, keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want to. If I should ask for things I want, Lord, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me.
Good advice, ain't it?
Amen.
That's right. Keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. You ever gotten God's way?
Yes,
I have. That's right. Now, this morning, I wanted to sing a song for a reason. And the song they sang was just right. I love that song. I want to just give you a little thought this morning. I'm not going to preach long. As I said, I got in bed at 6 o'clock this morning. I drove all night. And woke up at 14 minutes after 7. But then I went back to sleep for a few minutes. And I want to give you thoughts on my heart. It's on my heart all yesterday, all last night. I was planning, really, on preaching something else. But the Lord just kept bringing me back to this thought. So it's not going to be a great sermon, but it's going to be what I believe God wants me to give you. We got that. Have you got that baby back there? Give me a pick, brother. Monica? Brand new baby. Stand up with that little girl, Monica. Just a few weeks old. There she is. Let's give her a big hand. Amen. Woo! Amen. You don't want to have a baby, ladies. Don't drink that water back there. All right. Mark chapter 10. We're looking at Mark chapter 10 this morning. And I want to give you a little thought here this morning here in the Word of God. Mark chapter 10. And then I'm going to have you to turn to a verse way back in the Old Testament of 1 Kings chapter number 3. Don't miss tonight. Come praying. Bring somebody with you. We're really looking forward to the service this evening. Now I want you to keep still now. Everybody keep still. Nobody getting up. I want you to listen carefully. Be real, real still. Do all that moving before I get started. And we'll read here in the Word of God. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we'll look at verse number 50. Mark chapter number 10. And look at verse number 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Look at 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I didn't have no trouble answering that question. Now look at what Jesus asked this guy. Here's a blind man, and the Lord comes up to him and he says, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Ladies and gentlemen, did y'all catch that statement? The Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in flesh, we studied in Sunday school, looked down at a man and said, What would you like me to do for you? You realize what he's saying there? Name it. What would you like for me to do unto you? Have you ever thought about the Lord? What if the Lord come in here this morning, walked through that door, and walked up to you and say, What would you like me to do? What about that? My. If the Lord said, I want you to be thinking about that now for the next few minutes. If God looked at you and said, What would you like for me to do? This blind man didn't say, Oh my goodness, let me think about that. I have a car, I have a nice new house. You know what I mean? He said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. I want to see. Bam, got it, just like that. Now, you say, Well, why won't the Lord ask me that? Because that wouldn't be your answer. Amen. That's right. That wouldn't be most people's answer. Let me show you another one. Turn to 1 Kings. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. Way back yonder. Old Testament times. Days of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3. And look here at verse number 5. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And verse number 5. They got it there? 1 Kings 3:5. Now God asked Solomon that very same question. That amazes me. 1 Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. They didn't have a Bible then. God spoke to him in dreams and visions and spoke to him at night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. Think about that. Hold your place there. Here's Solomon laying in the bed, dreaming one night, and God comes to him in a dream and says, What would you like me to do for you? Amen. Now, imagine God saying that to you this morning. Everybody in here. God saying, What would you want? I asked myself that question this morning. And I said, God, if the Lord came to me and said, Danny, what would you like me to do for you? I thought, What would be the main thing that I'd ask God to do for me? I know some of you are thinking, I want Him to solve my marriage problems. I want Him to heal my body. I want Him to help me have a job, pay off my bills. I want Him to bless me financially or physically. Or I want Him to give me a husband or a wife or a child. That'd be my main request. Well, God asked this man, He said, What would you like for me to do for you? Now let's just imagine this morning that while I'm preaching, God is asking you, you people sitting right here this morning, what would you like for me to do for you? I want you to get in your head while I preach. This is going to be a little different than what I normally do. Come back tonight and I'll do something different, I promise you. Now you think about, what would you like for God to do for you? What would you like for God to do for you? The great question Jesus asked this man. The Bible said, for us to let our requests be made known unto God. The Bible said, ask what I shall give thee.
The Bible said, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth. God said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. The Lord ask us sometime, what would you like for me to do? You're a teenager here this morning. You say, I want the Lord to help me to find true love and get an education and get a good job. That might be what you want. Yeah, maybe you're here this morning and you would say, I want the Lord to work things out in my home. We fuss and fight and can't get along and we try and bend to marriage counseling and everything else and it never works out. I want the Lord to help me and my family. I want the Lord to help my child. Lady called me the other day. She called me. She said, is this Danny Castle? I said, yes, ma'am. Way down on the other side of Charlotte, down yonder somewhere. I have no idea who she was. She said, somebody told me that you could help me with my teenage son. She said, he's in trouble. He's 14 years old. She said, he's big, 6'1". He got in trouble on the internet. He had sent bad pictures off his phone to a girl at school. They caught him. The girl's parents came into school and was going to press charges against him. He's only 14. And they had about ready to get himself in trouble with the law. He was also into all kinds of other sin. You can think, 14 years old. She told me, she said, Brother Danny, I'm a little woman. She said, I'm only 4'11". And she said, he's 6'2". And she said, I told him, she said, I jumped up on a chair. And I got and said, I'll take you out. And she said, did I tell him right? And I said, you told him right. Amen. That little woman going to take him out if he didn't straighten up. That's right, brother. Amen. He needed a mama to stand up and box him jaws or something a little bit. He needed something. Amen. He needed more than time out. That's for sure. A little 14-year-old brat going to wind up in prison if something ain't done with him. That's right. I mean, the last thing a 14-year-old needs is a cell phone that he's got internet on. That's the last thing a 14-year-old boy needs. Say amen right there. The last thing. And he said, well, I give him one so in case he needs me, he can call. That might happen one time in his life, and the other 999 times he don't need you, and he's got stuff on there that he don't need. She said, Brother Danny, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, I'll pray for you. And I sent her some videos and that CD I did on addictions and a bunch of stuff like that and mailed it to her. And you know what she was saying? What can I do with my son? What can I do with my son? Somebody else asked me the other day. They said, Brother Danny, having marriage problems, separation, divorce is on the way. I'm already divorced. What can I do? Let's just imagine this morning that God asked every one of us, what would you like for me to do for you? Now, I'm not saying God's like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I'm not saying that God's a genie in a bottle. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying this morning that God is God. And I am saying that He cares about mine and your problems. And I am saying this morning that He still answers prayer. And I am saying this morning that God's still on His throne. And I am saying this morning that God is just as strong today as He was a million years ago. And a preacher called me last night on my way home from Maryland. We was driving through, getting ready to come across the bridge up yonder that comes from Maryland into Virginia. And my phone rang. It was a preacher, a pastor of a church. He said, Brother Danny, pray for me. He said, they're about ready to run me off. He said, it's awful. He said, it's been a fight ever since I've been here, just one mess right after another. He said, these preachers that think all it is just getting up and preaching in the glory. He said, Lord have mercy, these people are killing me. He said, what in the world can I do? He said, does God still bless anymore? He said, does people still get saved anymore? And I said, brother, listen, if there's any fault at all, it's not with him. If there's anything wrong, you mark it down, it ain't his fault. If there's any lack of spirit, you can count on it, it's not the Lord, it's us. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, God still has the power. Now let me say this morning, let me just give you some suggestions. If God asks you, what can I do for you? I would really suggest this. Lord, save my friends and my family and my loved ones. Let everybody in my family be saved. Instead of asking for a car, ask for your family to get saved and live right. Because that car is going to wind up in the junkyard one of these days and your family is going to be in heaven or hell. Amen. Right? You say, well, Brother Danny, I want a car. Ask for your family to be saved and serve God. By the way, Solomon asked for wisdom to do the right thing, and God blessed him with wisdom, plus all the stuff he didn't ask for. So, you know what you learn about God? You learn if you ask for the right stuff, He'll give you the right stuff, and plus what you want it to. If you ask for the wrong stuff, you don't get nothing. Solomon said, amen. Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom to help your people. And Lord said, that's a good answer right there, son. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom to deal with my people, and I'm going to give you chariots, and I'm going to give you horses, and I'm going to bless you financially. You're going to be the rich. You know how the man that's really a success, the man that says, God, help me just to do the right thing and treat my family right, and God right, and my church right, and care about souls. And Lord said, you know what? That's the right answer right there. I'm just going to bless you with money, and bless you with prosperity, and bless you with good health, and I'm going to bless you. Let me tell you something, brother. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I hear it all the time. Bo asked me last night. He said, Brother Danny, Lord's been good to you, ain't He? I said, He sure has. And he said, people got me all the time. They said, Brother Danny, how in the world do you go like you go? You know, I preached every night this weekend since Wednesday. I run 2 miles yesterday morning. I run 2 miles Friday morning. And then I walk 5 on talking on phone Friday evening, talking, helping people, counseling people, and then I did this, and then I did that, and I drove 500 miles home, and I get to go today and tomorrow, and you say, boy, God's good to you, do you ask for help? You know what I asked God for when I first started? I said, Lord, if you'll just help me preach, and help me to help people, I'll glorify you, and he said, good answer, Danny, you go do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of you financially, and I'll take care of you physically, and I'll take care of you. No, it ain't been a bed of roses, I don't always get everything I want, but glory to God, brother, I'm happy with what I've got. Amen. You know what a rich person is? A rich person is a person who's happy with what they have. If you're constantly wanting something else, you're poor. Right? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord bless them. Pray for your friends and loved ones to get saved. Now, I know people have a free will, and God don't make nobody get saved. But I also strongly believe in praying for lost people. I mean prayer. The testimony of history teaches us that when you pray for people, God will deal with that person. God will not make a person get saved. God will not save a person against their will. But He'll sure get them in a place where they're ready to get saved. If you'll pray hard. That's right. I'll never forget years ago, there's an old preacher in this country, around this area named Mac Hodge. Some of y'all don't even remember Mac Hodge. He's dead and gone now. And I got to hear him a few times right after I first started preaching. One of the great privileges I've had was to get to hear that old generation of preachers before they all died off. I sure am glad I got to get around them instead of this bunch we got nowadays. Lord have mercy. But I got to be around that old time preaching. Well, I mean, there's an old preacher named Mac Hodge. Has anybody in here ever heard of Brother Mac Hodge? There's 1, 2, 3, about 5 or 6 of you in here. You missed a blessing. Oh, Mac Hodge, he's old. He's some spruce pine. And he got up there and he parted hair right in the middle. And the old timey kind of like the school teacher used to wear, parted right down the middle and went, and he wore glasses, and he looked down his glasses at you like that. And no matter what he was preaching on, he'd take something like this, and he'd move the flowers, and he'd take a big card like that right there, and it would be from here to here like that piece of white paint right there, and he'd write on there, he'd say, pride, or jealousy, or money, or conviction or what, and he'd tape a little sign right here to the pulpit and hang it over. So the whole time you was listening to him preach, you would see that word would be stuck in your head. And when you left, you'd remember what he preached on. I mean, it'd get in your head. And boy, he'd hang it out and he'd get up there. And I remember, I don't mean this bad, but it was sort of like cross-eyed. And you couldn't really tell if he's looking at you or not. And that made it even scarier. Because, son, he'd take that finger down like that, and he'd go, and you thought, is he looking at me? I don't know if he is or not. Maybe he is. And you go like that. But anyway, you heard about them two guys like that, didn't you? You know, their eyes messed up, and two of them was coming like this, and they run right into each other. And one of them said, why don't you look where you're going? And the other said, why don't you go where you're looking? But anyway, old Hodge is like that. I mean, you couldn't tell if he was looking at you. And boy, he'd look down like that and he'd thunder down there and he'd preach on hell. And he said one time, old Hodge said he's preaching down at Myrtle, Mississippi, at Percy Ray's camp meeting, Camp Zion of Myrtle, Mississippi. He used to go down there once in a while. Big time, big camp meeting. Back in the old days, there'd be 1,200, 1,500 people in there and about 300 of them up shouting all at the same time. And it'd all be running the aisles. I mean, them old-fashioned camp meetings they used to have at Myrtle, Mississippi. And Mac Hodge said he went down there and preached one time and he went in a little church and he said he preached this revival. And he said they was having prayer room and there's like 10 men standing around in a circle having prayer. You know how men will stand around in prayer room? And he said they was all standing around in there. And you know, when you do that, everybody gives their prayer request. Pray for grandma, pray for this. And you got to say something so they'll think you're right with God. So you just make up something. You know, pray for my aunt, she broke her toe, pray for this and pray. You know how people do, just make up something and to make them think that you really pray. Well, they was all giving their prayer requests around through there. He said they was standing in there, and this old boy said he hadn't been saved no time at all, just a little while. He said he come in there running in the prayer room like that, and he said, I want y'all to pray for my aunt. She's over at the house watching TV, and I want her to come over here and get saved tonight in this revival. Let's pray for her. Dear God, I pray that you'd save her tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Bring her over here and save her. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. She'll be here tonight. And run out the door. Everybody looked at him like, who is that idiot? Man, just come in here, run in here and say, God save my aunt. She'll be here tonight. So what kind of nut is it? I heard Mac Hodge tell his story. And he was up there and he said, we looked around. We didn't know what to think. Who's that nut come in here, ask God to save his aunt? And he said, oh, and he said, he walked out of the church, out of the prayer room that night. He said he walked down the front row and lo and behold, wound up sitting right beside that fella on the front row. He said, I was sitting right beside that guy. He said, there he is, and the service started. And he said, I leaned over at him and said, is she here? He said, that guy looked back at me. He said, no, she's not here, but she'll be here. He said, okay. He said, they fooled around there a little bit, sung a song or two. He said, they took up the offering. Choir got up and sung. Preacher talked a little bit. He said, about 10 minutes, he leaned over and said, is she here? And that guy said, no, she ain't here, but she'll be here. Don't you worry about it. He said they fooled around there a little bit more, had a special song, and they messed around there a little while, and people give testimony. It about got time for the preaching. The preacher's getting ready to introduce him. And he said, I just had to lean over there one more time and ask that guy. He said, I didn't want to get up there and preach and wondering whether or not that woman was there or not. He said, I had to ask him one more time. He said, Swalino, he said, is you ain't here? He said, he looked at him and said, now listen. You get on up there and do what you got to do. Do your thing, preacher. Get up there. He said, she ain't here. She'll be here. He said, all right. He said, that's exactly what I did. He said, I got up there, and he said, I read my scripture. And he said, I read the scripture. I went ahead and preached and forgot all about whether or not that woman was there that night. And he said, I started giving the invitation. He said, there's a few stragglers come here, there, you know, like normal. He said, it was just a normal service. He said, we was singing. He said, all of a sudden, Mac Hodge said, he said, all of a sudden, them back doors flung open. He said, it went, pow, hit the side of the wall. Then he said, there's a woman come down that aisle. Looked like she'd seen a ghost. She had her eyes open like that. Well, I don't care. Just fell down in the altar. That boy jumped about that high and said, she's here. And sure enough, that was his aunt. Pronounced aunt, like an aunt, spelled A-U-N-T. And she jumped up, he said that, and some they gathered around her and prayed. They prayed there about 15 minutes, and buddy, they all got up and she stood up, and they give her the microphone, and she went, that's what she said, I was laying over on the couch, and she said, watching TV, and she said, there's a voice spoke to me and said, you get up and get down there to church right now and get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's the same time that boy got that victory there in that prayer room that night. Now, it don't always work like that. And she said, I didn't even know where the church was. She said, I've been riding around trying to find it. And came in there and got saved that night. I'm going to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it don't always happen that fast, Joe. It don't always happen in a minute. But I'm telling you, you are not wasting your time saying, God, save my love. You don't have to pray if it's your will. It is His will. It is not His will that any should perish. Not the drunk down there on the highway. Not the drug addict over in the crack house. I mean, not the President of the United States. Not the drug dealer from down in South America. Not a murderer on death row. It is not God's will. Say, Lord, save my family. Save my loved one. Don't you give up. It's God's will to save your family. I know people say, Brother Danny, the more I pray for my husband, the meaner he gets. That's a good sign. God's dealing with him. God's dealing with him. He's under conviction. Are you praying for somebody and it seems like the more you pray, the meaner they get? You're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere. Don't you give up. What would you like for God to do for you? How about that song she sung a minute ago? How about that song? Lord, keep me in your will. We have to make decisions. People ask me sometimes, they say, what's the hardest part of your job as a pastor? Is it preaching? Uh-uh. No, preaching sometimes is hard, but sometimes it just comes so easy. It's just like, it's like I ain't even doing, I'm just something just like you're riding a wave or something. So preaching's not the hardest part of my job. You know what the hardest part of my job is? Besides just dealing with people, the hardest part of my job is knowing I'm in God's will. That is a hard thing to figure out. And I say all the time, Lord, I'm doing my best. If I ain't in your will, put me in your will so I won't get in your way. Now, there are times when I won't do what I want to do. Ain't that right? Do you? Ain't there times you say, I want to do what I want to do? And that's when you're fixing to get in trouble. You got to say, Lord, now you know what I want to do, but if it ain't right, you stop me and let me do your will. Keep me in your will so I won't be in your way. The biggest mistake you ever make in your life as a Christian is get out of God's will and think you know more than God and you got it all figured out and you say, I know this is wrong, but I want to do it. That's the biggest mistake you will ever make. When you know something's wrong and you won't do it anyway, that's a big, big mistake. I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm going to stop. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What would you like for God to do for you? I had a bunch of other things I was going to say. What would you like for God to do for you?